I like to sometimes, I had intentions of doing something else this week, but the Lord kind of intervened and wanted me to look at this story. This is another very familiar story to most Christians, and that's the story of the centurion. That's kind of what we call it, what we know it as, and it's found in John chapter 4, verse 46 through 54. But I believe it's important to us today because it does two things. If you look in any commentary, I looked in four of them, and every commentary had the same thing. I couldn't title this message anything else because all the commentaries had the exact same things. These are the stages of faith. Now, what we see in this story, the reason I think it's so important, is it parallels the stages of faith that a person comes to in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The parallels are all right there in the story. I think that's why Jesus put it in here. I think it's there for that purpose. I think he was there to let us know that, hey, this has more meaning than just this guy coming and asking me to heal his dying son. And it has a lot for us. If we just focus on that that part today, I think it will be a message that we can use and maybe certainly will help someone. God intended it that way, so I believe it will. John chapter 4, read with me, please. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 46, tells the story. So Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. Now let me just stop right there. He Cana in Galilee. Galilee, there are three provinces that were in Galilee and Samaria. He had been in Samaria, but he had come again to Galilee, the northern province that was in what we know as modern-day Israel now. There were two towns there, Cana and Capernaum, that he's going to mention here. The second verse says, when there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him, remember that word there, to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now this come down, he means come down from Cana, down to where my son is in Capernaum. That's what that down is referring to. And heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Verse 50 says, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, again down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. And this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Come from the province of Judea into Galilee and then down further to Samaria where he encountered the Samaritan woman. Now, let me see if I can, I want to try to set this up as a setting that you can kind of visualize and get in your mind. And it's hard to do because we don't see today a single person traveling on foot with possibly 10,000 people around him. And their focus being on this one man. But that's what the scene is. You remember they fed 5,000 at one time. He did. And they didn't know how many women and children. That was just the men. So it could be as many as 5,000 to 10,000 people that are traveling. And I can't get in my mind, I was trying to do that this week, in my mind, what 5,000 to 10,000 people look like. The best thing I come up with is a basketball game. I love college basketball. I love to go to it when I can. It's not very often these days. But a college basketball game usually has, 9,000-10,000 people. And I got to thinking, man, can you imagine all this number of people going through the countryside, following this man. That's the setting that we're seeing here. And they were following him, and you can imagine the talk, what each of them was conversing with each other, talking about what he's doing, what he's done. They saw the water into wine at Cana, and he comes back to Cana, and you can imagine the hush among the crowd being like, you know, wonder what he's going to do next. You know, we better keep our eyes peeled because we don't know what's going to happen next. You know, they were looking. And so when this man comes up to Jesus, Jesus gives attention to a side of him that I think that he wanted the followers and he wanted us to see. And that is that Jesus is the Word. The Word spoke a word, so to speak. He is the Word. And what he was trying to show here, I believe more than anything else, is that my word is enough. It's sufficient. And what he said was, he told this man, he said, and he told the whole crowd, this man comes up and said, sir, would you please come down, come from where you are now, go down with me to Capernaum, for my son there is very sick. He's at the point of death. He's dying. And Jesus said, oh, you people, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And then the man did something that rarely we see. Most of us would have turned our head and ran off in shame, wouldn't we? We probably would have. But this man did something else. No, he kept on. My son's at the point of death. Would you please come down? My son's dying. He's at the point of death. And then Jesus said something to him. Go, your son lives. Your son lives. So what I want our focus to be on this morning, as we look at these stages of faith, or faith stages, I want us to kind of focus on this situation that this man was in. It's going to lead us right into that. And the focus of this day should be on the word, the importance of this word, what that word means to us. That's what our focus should be. I think that's what the focus of this story is. Now, the first thing I put in your notes was the part of the stages of faith. The very first part I put was the word contrition. Contrition's in the first blank. It is a faith that's seeking Jesus. Now that word contrition means a feeling of remorseful sorrow or grief at our own situation. Which means this. This man had a very remorseful feeling in his heart. He's losing his son. His son's dying and he knows it. And it's some fever-related illness. And supposedly, you know, things had been done, but nothing had worked. And so he's to a point now of contrition. His heart is totally remorseful. He's saying, my heart needs Jesus. He had heard about Jesus, just like you and I, before we come to faith in Christ. We hear about him. I heard about him for 3 years or more before I came to him. I'd heard about him. But I didn't jump and run to him. This man is in a desperate, desperate situation. The same way you and I are when we come to Christ. And you say, well, I wasn't there. I didn't have somebody in my family dying or anything like that. Oh, yeah, you did. You were dying. And you didn't know it. Now, this is what happens. This is what Jesus does. Jesus sees this remorseful condition in our hearts, this contrition in our hearts. And when he sees that, he places a measure of faith to believe. And that's the first stage of faith. A faith that begins to seek Jesus. Now, I want you to see that this man's situation was very desperate, and I was thinking about, you know, he came in definite desperation because he needed Jesus. And I got to thinking about the movie A Few Good Men. If you remember, some of you are old as I am, you can remember a number of years ago, Jack Nicholson, and Tom Cruise in the movie, where Tom Cruise is this young Navy attorney, and he's got a decorated Marine officer on the stand, and he's trying to prove his case. And he says to Jack Nicholson, "You said this man, Private Santiago, was in grave danger." And Jack Nicholson's famous line that he looked back at him and said was, "Is there any other kind?" Now I ask you, your need for Jesus is desperate. Is there any other kind? When you found Jesus, were you in any other different situation than this man? No. The beginning stage of faith, you're in the same desperate situation he is. He's got a son that he loves and that's dying, and he says, "You know, I don't want to see that happen." And he found the only person on the planet that could help his situation. He had heard of Jesus doing miracle and miracle and miracle, and he says, there's got to be something to that. And this confronts every human being. We're all going to get desperate enough at some point in your life. You're going to get desperate enough. You will. I think Howard shared a quote with me this week. That 0.029% of all young people playing sports right now will turn professional one day. 0.029%. Then the second part of it was 100% of those young people will one day face Jesus Christ. 100%. Not one person is eliminated. No one is exempt from it. You don't have to be at the point of death, but you're just as desperate in your seeking him as this man was. So you're going to get to a point. If you haven't got there yet, you're going to get there. It's coming. Everybody's got the same need for him as this man. And I want us to take a look at what this man did. And I put like three things down there for you under the contrition thing. The first is it's a beginning faith. A beginning faith. This man's action showed this type of faith. He'd heard of Jesus. He'd seen him. But then he did something that's mighty difficult for any of us to do. If we love our children, and we certainly should, and we've got a child that's very near death, how many of us are going to pick up and leave him and go somewhere because we had heard of somebody who we think might help our son? Get the message? How many of us would leave our son? He's dying. How many of us would leave him for any reason? That's difficult. You talk about a difficult decision. What made this centurion leave his son on his deathbed and go to try to find something to help him on a situation he had only heard of? See, the same, it's the same pattern, same thing we're in, same situation we're in. He had a beginning faith. Now, he could have done a number of things, but he didn't. You know, when he heard people talking about Jesus and what Jesus could do in his situation, he said, you know, he could just turn a deaf ear to it. I don't hear any of that. I don't care about any of that because I'm a centurion. Second thing, he could have thought that he was far too important to, you know, have himself led to Jesus or be anywhere, you know, involved with this Jesus, because I'm a centurion. I'm an officer in the court of King Herod. He had a very, very important position, this man. So he could have said, I'm far too important to go leave my son and go off half-cocked on this idea that this man could possibly help. So he didn't do that either. And he could have done this. You and I did this probably for a long time before we came to faith in Christ. I did. I considered it foolishness. This man could have thought that. You know, when you tell me that a virgin gives birth to a son, that's foolish. Logically thinking in my mind, that's foolish. Only through the power of God can that happen. This man, only by the power of God, by putting a beginning faith in his heart, could he leave his dying son and go and seek after Jesus. My question to you this morning, where are you in that? Where are we in seeking after Jesus every day? Because our situation is just as desperate. There's really no difference. The second part I put It was a growing faith. Now, can you imagine this journey? He had to leave where he was at and go, and the Bible tells us that Capernaum and Cana were about 20 miles geographically apart. There was a mountainous region in between them. There wasn't a connecting road between the two cities. So he had a difficult journey to take over some mountainous regions to get from Capernaum to Cana and then get back to where his son was. So he had this measure of faith to leave and to go find this Jesus he had heard about. Can you imagine how with every step his faith grew? So how do you know? He didn't turn back, did he? He kept going. So his faith grew more and more. When you hear about Jesus Christ, you've not yet given your heart to him. That's what happens with you. You say, well, I heard about him, and I heard it, you know, and the more I got around, you know, I know what happened in my case. I'd never been to church in my life. My wife made me go to church with her. Can you imagine that? A wife making you go to church. She made me go to church with her. And as I went to church with her, I was exposed to hearing about Jesus Christ. I'd never heard that much about him. So I can identify with this. I heard, and my faith grew. But you know, God will put that measure of faith in your heart, but you know what you got to supply? Fertile ground. Where your heart is, when God puts that there, you got to supply the fertile ground for it to grow. That's what this man did. God put the measure of faith in his heart. He said, I'm going to leave my son. I'm going to go after the only guy that can help him. And he left. And that ground became more and more fertile. His heart became closer and closer to the Lord as he traveled. Psalm 31:24 says this. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And then Jeremiah 17:7 says this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Whose hope is in the Lord. I want to ask you a question, folks. Where's your hope today? What are you hoping in? Are you hoping in a job? Are you hoping in a career? Are you hoping in a relationship with someone? All those things I just told you, they're necessary. They're good things for us to be on this earth. But every one of them will leave you, they'll let you down. Every last one of them will let you down. You look today, the job that was here today is gone tomorrow. Your career that you thought was blossoming won't even be a career anymore. And that person you thought loved you till the end of the earth will be here today and could possibly be gone tomorrow. I hope that's not the case with you. And I hope I don't paint a dim picture of relationship, because there are some great relationships. There's some super love relationships. But the truth is, all those things will let you down. My question is, where is your faith this morning? Where's your hope? Where's your hope? It alone needs to be in Christ Jesus. Your faith alone needs to be in him and in nothing else. That needs to be the centermost part of your faith. The third part that I put down there is a begging faith. We need to have a begging faith. Now, that begging faith, what does that mean? Well, if you look back up there at the scripture, the man heard what Jesus said. You know, Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. You know, it's like, do you not understand who stands before you and what I have the power to? Unless you see the signs and wonders, you won't believe. So let's try this one on for size. Okay, the guy asked him again. After he said that, the guy begged him. He implored him. He said, Lord, you need to come down or my son's going to die. And Jesus looked at him and said, go your way, your son lives. Go your way. He begged. Now, what one of us, if we had a loved one that was dying, would we not get on our knees and beg? Buddy, I tell you what, I'd wear my knees out begging. I do anyway. I'd be begging, wouldn't you? Doesn't that happen to you? You have to sometimes get on your knees and say, Lord, please come into my situation. Lord, this looks impossible. Lord, I don't know what to do. I've exhausted every measure that I've got and nothing's worked. And Lord, I'm begging you, would you please help me? That's us. That's us, whether we like to face it or not. That's us. Psalm 91:15 says this: He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. The Lord promises. The Lord stands waiting to do good things for him. Don't you know that Jesus, he wanted to do good things for this man. And then when this man begged him, Jesus said, man, I'm going to make this. I'm going to show you something you haven't seen before. You people are wanting to see signs and wonders before you, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you something a little bit different. I'm going to say it, and it's going to be done, and it's not going to be right here in front of you. And it's a shame that everybody didn't get to see it, but they did when the man witnessed, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. Now, don't you know how difficult it was for this man to beg? I don't want to leave that just yet. Don't you know how difficult it was for this man to beg? He's a government official. He's involved in a government, and people are watching him. They're seeing him. Man, get on his knees and beg Jesus to come and help his dying son. Don't you know that of this crowd of 5,000 plus, that there's going to be some folks in there that's going to ridicule him? Am I right? Somebody please say amen. I don't know if you're alive or not. He was begging. He said, I don't care how much ridicule I face. When you get to the point that you don't care what other people think about what you do, you come to Jesus, you will when you get to that point. But as long as you let other people and what they think of you stand in your way, you won't come and you won't be sincere in what you're doing. You won't do it. I've been through it. I've been there. I worried to death about what everybody, all my friends would think of me. But when Jesus put that measure of faith in my heart to step out of the way, and to tell that pastor that night, hey, I want whatever this is. I don't know what it is. I'm too ignorant of Scripture to know. But I want what this is because I want to feel this way. And I want to have a Lord that I can trust because I need him in my life. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But I remember from that Wednesday night when I accepted him till the Sunday morning when I was supposed to show my profession of faith. You won't believe the devil did me some. He dealt with me those few days. It's like, don't you know people are going to ridicule you? Don't you know all your friends are going to say, what in the world is he doing? I actually had people come to me and say, have you lost your mind? They did. They truly said to me, have you lost your mind? They said the same thing when I came to this church, by the way. That's true. B part, and I'm moving faster. Persistence is a faith that leads to belief. Persistence. Matthew 7:7-8 says this: Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Everyone who seeks finds. We need to be seeking. And this is what this man did. He said, sir, come down. My son's going to die if you don't come. Come down with me. And Jesus saw that persistence in him. Our faith needs to be persistent. You know, I hear some people say, well, you know, I prayed for that a couple of weeks ago, two or three, and nothing ever happened, so I ain't prayed for it since. It's okay to pray for, it's okay to pray for something over and over and over again. I'm still praying for some things I hadn't seen yet. You know, that's what faith is. We have to be persistent in our prayer. He didn't even let what Jesus said deter him. You know, if many of us have been standing there and Jesus was in his presence and Jesus, and we had our doubts in our minds about, you know, Jesus, you know, is he who he says he is? Is this guy real? Because I didn't get to see the last miracle. So, you know, that's kind of the way the situation was. But this man did something strange. As soon as Jesus said, go your way, what did he do next? His persistence continued. He left. How many of us would have left? You know, what might happen in our lives if we were persistent in believing what this word says? what might happen in our church family to change our church if we only believed in what this word says. We have the word. We don't have to doubt about it. Can you imagine this man, Jesus says, go your way? You know, can you imagine what he turned and left. He was persistent in what he did. Now, look with me at Psalm 34:22. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. None of those will be condemned. I usually don't like the word none, but I love it right there. None of his servants who seek after him and are persistent will be condemned. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. When you search for me with all of your heart, then you'll find me. There has to be a sincereness in his heart, and it has to have persistence in it for you to keep searching. Don't quit searching. Don't quit praying. Don't quit seeking. We all should be doing that. That's when we find Jesus, when we are sincere in our hearts and we search him, seek him with all of our hearts. Now that's the persistence part. C part is the obedience part, which is a trusting faith. A trusting faith. Persistence is a faith that leads to belief. And the C part is obedience, a trusting faith. Now let's look at what the charge of Jesus was here to this man. Jesus said, go your way. Now, what would we have said? Possibly. If we'd been in the same position as this man, and our son was dying, and we asked him, come down and heal him, please, and he said, go your way, your son lives. How many of us would have said, what was that? What did you say? Are you sure? That's probably what I'd say. Jesus, are you sure? Jesus is never unsure. He's always sure. His word is always right. His word is always correct. He said his charge was, your son lives. And look what happened. When obedience took place, instantaneous faith, obedience, faith. See, he said, your son lived. What did that man do? He turned and left. He started back on his journey home. He did something. There was action that followed the word of God. Now, may I ask you, how much action are you putting into what you're reading and studying in this word? Are you falling short in your reading and you're studying this word? This is the only place you're going to get it. You know, yeah, you might get some from a preacher. You might get some from a Sunday school teacher. But this is the word's there for you all the time. It's yours. God left it for us. It's there. Don't you know Jesus had this thought in his mind when he looked at all of them and said, you're sitting here waiting for me to do another miracle or another sign so that you might believe? He said, the word is enough to believe. My word. Then he spoke of the word. The man turned around and left. And when he did that, he showed all of the group a faith they hadn't seen before. He wasn't waiting. He left immediately heading home. I'm going to go see about this thing. Because God loves us and he has compassion and concern for us. And Jesus, he showed two things here. He showed first his knowledge, his omniscience. Jesus knew this son was healed. He knew it when he said it. But when the word says it, it's true. You can take this word to the bank. You can use it in your life. It's true. It's never going to let you down. Ever. It's there for us. Just like it was there for that man. The word, the man, Jesus spoke the word, and the man took the word and left. And he believed. And he believed. And then the second thing Jesus showed was an omnipotence. Jesus showed people, I can speak the word, and this child can be 20 miles away, and I got the power to heal him. I got the power to heal him. How many of you know whatever your situation is, wherever you are and your needs right now, and you praying to God for this to happen or that to happen, and God save this loved one of mine because they're not saved and they're off in this direction or that direction, whatever your need is. How many of you know that Jesus don't have to show up and be in front of your face to make it happen? He can do it long distance. He has the power to do it long distance. Nothing can stop his power. That was the charge of Jesus and the promise of Jesus, that your son lives. And then the third thing, the man's belief in Jesus' word. And, you know, and I ask you this morning, where are we in this? Do we truly, really believe in the word of God? And if we did, do we hang our every hope and our every thought on what this word teaches us on a daily basis? Are we living our lives in tune with this? Because that's what it's there for. Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Don't quit praying. Whatever you're praying for, believe it. Believe it. Have faith in who can do it for you. And keep praying, and God will give you an answer. He will give you an answer. He wants to. Psalm 31:9 says this, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. You feel that way sometimes? Well, I do. Sometimes I just want to say, God, have mercy on me, please. I know what your word says. Have mercy on me. Give me the measure of faith to believe it. The D part, confirmation. A faith that obeys and believes. A faith that obeys and believes. As the man, verse 51, as he was going down the road, his servants met him. We don't know how far he got, but his servants met him and told him, your son lives. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say, folks? Your son lives. He said the same thing. And they came to this man, his servants told him, your son lives. Do you think that was somehow or another just a situation where it happened to be the same? No. It's the word of God. They had the word of God and they didn't even know what was told. They come and said the exact same thing back to him. Your son lives. Confirmation. We're confirming what Jesus told you. It has happened and your son lives. And it cemented this man's belief. He himself, it says, believed, and with him all his household. Now I want you to see how important this was. He reconciled the hour of the word and the healing of his son. And he had the absolute confirmation that he was looking for. His faith in Jesus was real. His faith in this person and his faith in the spoken word of God was real. And he figured out it was real. And when he did that, his faith was confirmed. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures here. Hebrews 7:25 said, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He can save to the uttermost all that seek him. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see it for it to be done. It can be done in your life and you don't see it coming. That's the way God is. That's how God acts. Ezekiel 12:25 said this, for I am the Lord. Now watch this. I speak and the word which I speak will come to pass. It will no more be postponed, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will say the word and perform it, says the Lord God. Here's his word. He's saying it. He said, you can believe it because I say it and it happens as I say it because he's all powerful. He knows about that kind of thing. The last part, and I'm done. The last part is witnessing a faith that spreads. Witnessing a faith that spreads. Now, this man witnessed, it says, to his whole house. And I want us to see what that's not just his wife and the other children. That's not what that meant. These government officials had a household of servants and they had a house full of people. This was a number of people that this man now stood and witnessed. A few days before, he didn't even have faith to believe. The faith was put in his heart to believe. And now shortly after this miracle, he's witnessing. How much are you witnessing? Are you telling people about the greatness of God that lives inside you? You should be. We all should be. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. How many people, we've talked in Sunday school this morning, how many people do you have a conversation with and Jesus doesn't come up? Why does he not come up? His word, your whole life is hanging on this word. Don't you realize that? We all should. Our lives are hanging on what he says, what his word said to us. And so we should be witnessing and telling everybody that we see about it. He witnessed. It says they committed themselves to Jesus. When he told them what Jesus said and what happened, they committed themselves to Jesus. They were saved. Now, let me again point out, witnessing for Jesus couldn't have been easy. Because this man was in the service of the king. And this was a government, if you read much about King Herod, then you know that this was a government that was corrupt. It was filled with corruption. And this man is now witnessing for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what he faced? You talk about ridicule, I bet he got it. He's now witnessing for Jesus Christ. Look at your scripture. Matthew 5:16 says this. And Keith, you can come get our song ready. I don't know where you are, but I'll. There you are. Okay. Matthew 5:16 says this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Luke 8:39 says, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And Acts 16:30, 31 says this, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Now I want to ask you this morning, where are you in this? Where are you in the word this morning? And don't be ashamed. Don't be worried about ridicule or any of that. Because let me tell you something, the other people are in the same shape you're in. They're not any better. Those people, you're worried about what they think, they're not any different than you are. They need Jesus just as desperately as you do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the witness of your word today. Thank you for what you have shared with us today, Lord. And Lord, this story, help us to take from this story the power, Lord, and just the relevance of your word to our everyday life. Lord, it's in most cases, in many cases, an untapped source. Lord, you have convicted me in this regard. So, Lord, I pray for these that have gathered this morning and for myself. I pray, Lord, make this word relevant again. Lord, help us to seek out your will for our lives through this word. Lord, help us to have faith like this centurion. Help it to grow. We see a great, Lord, great parallel through what you showed us in this miracle and what you are doing in the lives of those around. Lord, it's my prayer that today, that if there are those here that are sitting and Lord, they've never turned their life over to Jesus Christ, they've never trusted him for salvation. Lord, I pray that they understand that they're desperation is it is a desperate need, and that everybody has been exactly where they are, and that Lord, that no one else is any different, no one's exempt from it. I pray this morning you impart on their heart that measure of faith that they might believe, and I pray, Lord, as you do that, that they would be receptive, and Lord, they would do what they're supposed to do with faith, that they take action. I pray, Lord, lead them forward this morning to this altar to pray. And Lord, I pray that you become alive in their hearts forevermore. Because I know that's what happens. I know that's how it goes. Lord, I pray this morning for those that have gathered this morning, have deep needs emotionally and spiritually. And Lord, those that are gathered this morning, their lives seem to be totally run amok. They're things that are just out of control. And Lord, they're hurting. They're hurting deeply, and they need a touch from you. Lead them this morning to this altar to pray. And Lord, I pray that they'd receive from you exactly what you give. All of yourself, Lord. Your love and concern and compassion that you have for us. Now we ask you in the singing of this hymn, have your way. And Lord, overlook my inadequacies and bless these that have gathered in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Won't you stand? We sing this hymn. If you feel the need to come and pray for any reason, then you certainly need to. You need to do that. And if I can pray with you or help you in any regard, I'd be more than happy to do that. But I won't do that until you ask me to do that. So let's play this song, this hymn of invitation, which is inviting you to come and pray this morning. If you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, no, there's not a better day than today. I can assure you that. There's no better day than today.